Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
You know, if you step outside right now, you can feel it. The air is just different.
Mm-hmm, it's the autumn.
Yeah, it's that time of year. The world sort of shifts, gets quieter, more deliberate somehow. Days get shorter, shadows stretch.
And nature starts that whole transformation thing.
We humans, we have our own ways of mirroring that, don't we? Our rituals.
Definitely.
Like carving the pumpkin. It's maybe the most famous one this time of year. You take this thing, it's whole, it's beautiful, it's seasonal.
And then you gut it.
Exactly. You hollow it out, we transform it, and not just, you know, for decoration. There feels like there's something deeper going on, some psychological reason we don't have to talk about.
And that's exactly what we're getting into today. We're doing a deep dive into some really interesting source material, specifically an entry from the Evernight series, which comes from the Church of Tinkerbell. Now, just for context, this isn't your standard religious text. Think of it more like modern myth-making, storytelling that uses archetypes, seasonal rituals, to teach some powerful, practical, psychological lessons.
Using folklore to get at deeper truths.
Okay, I like that. So our mission today is, what? To find the hidden spell in the jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. What does that act of hollowing out a pumpkin, sticking a light inside, what does that actually teach us about handling fear, about loss, about, well, changing ourselves?
It sounds like a really rich seasonal metaphor.
It is. Yeah. And I want to show you why this isn't just folklore. It's really a step-by-step guide almost for human resilience, and why sometimes the pain involved in change, that feeling of destruction, it's actually necessary to find some kind of inner light.
Okay, let's dig in. Section one, the anatomy of transformation. The sources talk about autumn itself, how trees shed their leaves. And crucially, it says they do this not in defeat, but in faith. Like, they trust the process, trust the dark months ahead. Mm-hmm. That passive, natural courage. It's a great contrast to the kind of courage the ritual asks of us, which is very active.
Right. We approach the pumpkin whole, unblemished, and we bring the knife. The text makes point of saying we cut into it not out of cruelty, but out of creativity.
Yeah, but let's be real. When you're elbow deep in pumpkin guts,
oh yeah,
scraping out all that stringy stuff and the seeds, it doesn't always feel very creative, does it?
Not at all. It feels like destruction, frankly. Mm-hmm. You're totally changing its structure, making this empty space inside,
yeah,
deliberately hollow.
And that act, the scooping away, that's the core psychological parallel here. The source says it really plainly. Life hollows us out, scoops away pieces we thought we needed. Just pause on that for a second. We usually think strength means being full, right? Complete, having all the pieces.
Yeah, definitely.
But transformation, according to this, it starts with the opposite. It starts with that hollowing out.
So what are those pieces we thought we needed that life scoops away?
Yeah.
Because that's where the pain is.
Yeah.
When that happens.
Absolutely. It could be anything, really. The certainty you had about a plan, the control you thought you had in a relationship, maybe an identity built around a job that suddenly disappears.
Oof, yeah.
You hit a period of change. Grief, redundancy, a personal crisis, and your first instinct is to mourn that flesh you thought was essential to who you are.
And letting go of that, it's not gentle work, it's scraping. It really feels like scraping sometimes.
It really is. The source says transformation isn't gentle work, that the knife of experience is sharp, it hurts. But here's the brilliant insight, that emptiness that results, it's not a flaw, it's not a defect, it's actually the necessary condition for light. For illumination, you need that scraped clean space inside.
Because if the pumpkin stays full of itself, full of its own stuff,
the light can't get in, it can't shine out. So hollowing, in this context, it's not destruction, it's preparation. You're making room for the light.
That completely reframes it. It's like trading fullness, that internal weight for clarity, for function. It changes how you even think about weakness.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the hollowing, the tough part. Necessary, but tough. Now we get to the second act, bringing in the flame. And the sources tell this little story, this fable about the Hollow One and the village. It makes the whole idea much more concrete.
It does. And this story adds that social, that emotional layer. It takes the very personal act of being hollowed out and connects it to the power of, well, shared vulnerability.
Which is often how bigger changes start, right? In a community.
Yeah. Right. So the story goes, there's this village and they've fallen into this kind of deep psychological night. They actually have candles, they have flint, the tools for light.
But they're too afraid.
Yeah. Fear makes their hands tremble too much to even strike a spark. The night feels cursed. So they just sit there in the dimness, whispering about the past, how things used to be bright. It sounds like collective despair almost. Hope feels too dangerous.
It's that paralysis of fear, isn't it? Where the possibility of failure, the chance the flame might just flicker out, it's scarier than the darkness they're already in. Until a small child comes along. She finds this pumpkin. It's half frozen, discarded. Her mom says, "Oh, just toss it, it's soft, no good." But the girl looks at it and says, "It still has room."
I love that line, "It still has room." It's this moment of seeing potential, even in something damaged, something overlooked. Because it's already been partly hollowed out, right? By circumstance, by nature.
Yeah. So she takes this dull knife, and anyone who's carved a pumpkin knows that feeling, the sheer effort involved sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Painful labor is right.
She scrapes it clean and lights just a tiny candle inside.
And here's the really important psychological bit. The story says the flame flickered wildly at first, uncertain, as if remembering how to be brave, and then it steadied. That flicker, that initial uncertainty, that's so validating.
It really is. It speaks to that feeling we all have when we try something new after a setback or dare to hope again. It's wobbly. It's not some confident, blazing fire right away.
But that raises a question, doesn't it? If the whole village is stuck in fear, why would a flickering, uncertain light actually draw them closer? You'd think risk would push them away.
Maybe it's because the flickering light actually validates their own uncertainty. They see a courage that's still trembling.
Okay.
And they realize, okay, I don't have to be perfectly brave to start. I just have to be willing. The light from that hollow one wasn't like blinding perfection. It was just humble effort. You could see the effort.
Exactly. That shared vulnerability, that recognition, oh, that looks like how I feel. That's what drew them in. They came closer, drawn by that small, soft warmth. And the story ends beautifully. By dawn, every single window in the village is glowing.
Wow.
Not because everyone suddenly found some huge individual courage overnight, but because one small trembling light turned out to be contagious. Courage, the source seems to argue, it's a communal thing. It multiplies when it's visible, when it's shared.
That really resonates. We often think resilience is this solo journey, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But this suggests that just showing up with your own imperfect, maybe flickering light, that might be the biggest thing you can do for others who are also struggling in the dark.
It loops right back to the purpose of a lantern, doesn't it? It's meant to be seen, to show the way, and maybe to guide others. And you're only really useful as a guide if you admit you've had to, well, make space for the light yourself, if you admit to the hollows.
You need the darkness for the lantern to even matter. Which brings us to the third part, this paradox the source presents. We usually think of darkness as the bad guy, right? The enemy trying to snuff out the flames.
Right, the thing that swallows light. But this is where the source asks for a pretty big shift in how we see things. It basically says, no, darkness isn't purely negative. The key takeaway is, in truth, the night is what makes the light visible.
Whoa, okay, say more about that.
Think about it literally. A beautifully carved lantern. It means absolutely nothing at noon.
True. It's just an orange gourd sitting there. Maybe a bit worse for wear after the carving. No value, really. But
precisely. It's only when it's surrounded by deep shadow, by the dark, that its glow becomes. Well, the source uses the word sacred.
Sacred.
And that's the practical application for us, for you listening. If you haven't felt that emptiness, that darkness of failure, the pain of being hollowed out, how can you really appreciate the value of the light you do carry?
So the darkness isn't the obstacle. It's the backdrop, the context.
It's the necessary condition. It's what elevates the light from just being there to having significance, having impact.
That is a powerful reframing.
Think about it in, say, a work context. Maybe your most vital skill is something like crisis management or fixing really complex problems.
Okay.
That skill, that light, it's only truly valuable when the company is in the darkness of a major crisis or a market downturn, when everything's sunny and easy. That specialist skill is, well, it's a lantern at noon. Not much point.
So the struggle, the difficult times, the dark times, that's what creates the perfect setting for your inner light, your skills, your resilience to actually matter. It defines the impact.
Yes. And connecting this back to just maintaining that light within ourselves, the source adds a little caution. that candle inside us, it doesn't stay lit by magic.
Right.
It needs tending, conscious care, attention, breath, as the source puts it, especially when things get stormy.
And crucially, it needs sharing. The wisdom here is that sharing your flame doesn't diminish it. It's not division.
No, the source reminds us, flame shared is flame multiplied. When you light someone else's candle with yours,
you don't lose anything.
Exactly. You actually confirm your own light's existence and value by helping someone else navigate the hollows you might have already been through. It makes empathy almost an act of self-preservation in a way.
Wow. Okay, this has been quite a journey. From just a simple pumpkin carving. But the core lesson, wrapping it all up, seems to be this three-step process. Hollowing the painful but necessary creation of space.
Mm-hmm. Then igniting, validating that flickering, maybe uncertain start. Showing courage, even when trembling.
And finally, visibility. Realizing the darkness isn't the enemy, it's the backdrop. It's what makes your light, born from those hollows, truly radiant and meaningful.
You are not broken by your hollows. The source suggests you are made radiant by them.
That's a powerful thought to end on.
And maybe something to take into your week. The source encourages taking that quiet moment for reflection. Try to use this idea right away. Maybe shift how you're looking at a change you're going through, something painful perhaps. Honor the transformation itself.
So the final challenge for you, listening.
Yeah, think about this. If you could carve a lantern from your own life right now, based on the specific hollows, the changes, the losses you've endured, what shape would you give that lantern? What story would its light tell out into the night?
Take a moment, maybe later today, just to honor the parts of yourself you've had to let go. Those pieces of certainty, maybe identity, that got scooped away.
And then recognize the immense, maybe even sacred space they've created. Space for your light to finally become visible and valuable to the world around you.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.